About two blocks from where the new Birthplace of Country Music Museum will open, in what used to be an old truck dealership, a man named Ralph Peer recorded 76 songs by people who'd answered his ad for local musicians. It was 1927, and back then, record players were sold by furniture stores. Peer was looking to make records to help sell the expensive wooden consoles people were buying for their parlors. He was a savvy businessman with a vision and an eye for profit.
So, for example, in the Bristol sessions, he turns away a lot of string band music because those songs do not have lyrics.
Jessica Turner is museum director and head curator.
And he wants songs with lyrics so he can copyright those because people relate to songs that they can relate to the words of. And he knew that those would sell. And so those Carter Family songs and Jimmy Rogers, those are songs that people are listening to.
Over me yonder, the weeping willow, yes, under the weeping willow tree.
Bury Me Under the Weeping Willow by the Carter Family was just one from that early recording session that went on to become a country music classic, covered by everyone from British singer Lonnie Donegan to American alternative rocker Natalie Merchant. Many people in this region played music as a way of life, a way of prayer, and even as a way of sharing the news. But most of them who showed up that day in Bristol never went on to music careers. Others became household names. Jeff Place is the curator of folklife at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C.
And Jimmy Rogers and the Carter Family are often thought of as sort of the founding fathers, families of the whole country music scene. And so people talk about that as the big bang, the creation of the country music industry on record, and, you know, was that one session. It's kind of thought of as it's like that first iconic thing.
Long after Nashville, Tennessee became known as the home of modern country music, talk began around Bristol about a museum commemorating those early recording sessions. Birthplace of Country Music Museum's Reagan Streetman says it was probably a combination of geography and transit that made Bristol a meeting place for musicians.
You have a train station just up the road. That train station, if you were traveling anywhere north of Bristol or south of Bristol by train, you had to stop in Bristol for a considerable amount of time because the train gauge actually changed. We are on a state line, so if you were riding the train to Bristol, they had to take it off the tracks, some Virginia tracks, and switch them to Tennessee, and that took some time. So a lot of people came downtown. This was a really bustling city. And if you were an artist, you would perform here.
This new museum is like a gleaming shrine to that seminal moment, but as much as it honors the past, it celebrates the present. You won't find a lot of objects sitting in glass cases.
We're not heavy on artifacts or instruments or costumes. We want people to touch, feel, listen, and hear their experience and be inspired.
There are listening areas where you can choose a song and mix it yourself, riding the vocals or the guitar to take apart the songs. And there are booths where you can listen to an original song and some of the remakes. Here's the original version of The Longest Train I Ever Saw by the Tenniva Ramblers.
Little girl, don't tell me no lies. Where did you stay last night?
And here's how Nirvana did it in 1994.
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, when did you sleep last night? In the pines, where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night.
Just as the music has changed, so has the idea of what a museum is today.
People want to capture their experience through Instagram, through Facebook, to upload to YouTube. Why not let them?
You know, there's an alternate kind of scene going on, and it's really active.
Again, Smithsonian folklife curator Jeff Place.
You know, I was just amazed in 2002 when we were doing research for the Smithsonian Festival, how many people who were like, you know, their teens and early 20s were playing this music. And there was all these tons of like places you can go, like, you know, local community stores that have jams on Saturday nights. So you had these people, who, like young folks, who were learning like old-time country music from their grandparents and stuff and really interested in it.
And the museum has other plans to revive the old music. It applied to the FCC for a low-power radio station. Donors paid to put up a transmitter, and some local stations around here will carry the shows, which can also be heard online. They'll be produced out of one of the museum's exhibits in what looks like a vintage radio studio with a 1946 Raytheon console, gutted and now holding state-of-the-art equipment.
I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow.
And to celebrate the 1927 Bristol recordings, the Birthplace of Country Music Museum is working on a new album with reinterpretations of the classics, like Where We'll Never Grow Old, first recorded by Alfred C. Carnes, and now by the Church Sisters. I'm Robbie Harris.
And our voices will play. With the loved ones who grow.